First of all, I want to thank all the nations that are logging on. We don't have Rachel here today. They can't tell us our stats right now, so we don't really know where we're at, but I'm sure we're pretty good. And with that being said, if you're here today and you're listening to me on the tape, it's not by accident. I will say that much. I do want to say I feel that I have a message straight from God. And the word today is he's asking you, do you want to surrender now or do you want to surrender later? You can surrender now and have plenty of peace. Later on, you can have plenty of peace going forward, or you can get beat up later on down the road, get tired, and then eventually surrender. What's your choice? Because if you're listening to me now, you hear my voice, then you're called by God, or God's knocking at your door. One thing or the other. And why I'm saying this now is because someone is listening right now, and I'm telling them they can either quit and surrender, or you can keep on fighting and suffer, and then eventually you'll quit and surrender. And why I say this is because you're God's child. If you're hearing me now, you're God's child. And why I say this is he spoke to me about certain things, as he is the master potter and we're nothing but clay. Now, how many of us know some of the stories in the Bible? Has anybody ever read the Bible or got some of the stories? No? Okay. It's good. I'll paraphrase some of them. There are several individuals, as an example, that are in the Bible that you see eventually they had no choice. By the time you get done reading the end of their stories, they ended up in the way God wanted it done anyhow. Example, one of them is Joseph and the coat of many colors. You know that story, right? Some of you may, some of you may not. Okay, Joseph had a dream. And in the dream, he was given, I'm going to just paraphrase it. He was told that he was going to be ruled over his brothers. And stand. You know the story, Mary Lou? You do? How well do you know it? Good? All right. I'm going to give you the mic. All right, you want to come up? Yeah, okay. Come on up. You're going to share the story of Joseph, and I think the people around the world would love to hear you. Okay? This is Mary Lou. This is one of my sweethearts. And she's going to share a little bit of the story of Joseph.
Joseph was one of 12 brothers, and he also had some sisters. And he had a vision, a dream, that he was going to be higher than his brothers. And he told his brothers this, rather than keeping it to himself, this vision to himself. And, of course, they were not really thrilled with that at all. I mean, they were already upset because he was the son of the favored wife. So they weren't real happy about this. And they finally had enough of him, and they sold him. They put him in a big hole. And when these traders came by, they sold him off, and he was taken off to Egypt. And he had this coat of many colors that his mother had made him, and that was the last straw, pretty much. He showed the brother the special coat, and then that was it for them. And they brought the coat back to the father to show them that he was killed. They told the father he was dead. Okay, keep going with Joseph?
Yeah, because we got to find out what happened with Joseph.
Okay, and Joseph was taken off to be a slave and was put in jail. And he had a vision that for one of the people in jail with him, and he told him something that was going to happen, and it came to pass. And that person got out of jail, and the Pharaoh was having a hard time and with a vision, and he didn't know what it meant, and he was getting all of his bigwigs to come in, and I don't know what you want to call them, to come in and tell him what the dream was. And no one could tell him what the dream was. And this guy remembered Joseph and said to him, I know someone that can tell me about this, you about this dream. So he went to prison and brought Joseph out. Joseph told him what the dream meant. And Joseph wound up being raised up because he had this vision and eventually was put as wound up as high as the Pharaoh in Egypt because they put him in charge of taking care of the monies and everything. And years later, when there was a famine in Israel, and his brother and father-in-law had to leave Israel because they had no food, and they came basically begging to Egypt, only to find out there's a whole, you want the whole story about how he tricked?
You want.
No, that's, well, they were surprised to find out that Joseph was in charge of everything and was able to restore them and bring them out of the famine. How's that? Is that enough of the story?
Yeah, that's good. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Well, the bottom line is, you would think that Joseph, there was no hope for him, okay, because of the fact that he was thrown in a hole, sold to the prisoners. You know, you would think that the dream would have never came true. The purpose of God's for him would have never came past, him being overruling over his brothers. And towards the end of Joseph's life, he showed that example of being head over his brothers. Couldn't stop it. All right, here's another one. Moses. Okay, Moses, had a little boy, they wanted to kill all the babies. His mother, as a Hebrew, took him, put him in the water, drifted him down, said goodbye, Moses. kind of watched, made sure. Did anybody ever see Moses on the television, those Easter shows? Okay, so you kind of have an idea. So Moses ended up drifting down the Nile. The Queen of Egypt, I guess, found him and took him, adopted him, and then turned around and made him one of the sons of Egypt. Well, all of a sudden, Moses' heart starts getting real compassion over the slaves of Egypt. And, you know, he started saying, I no longer want to be a Pharaoh. His heart was being changed. I don't want to be a Pharaoh anymore. I want to go off and find out about these Israelites or what have you and figure out saving them. And so he drifts away and goes into the desert. And that's where he had his vision or his encounter with God. And then he was instructed to go back to Pharaoh and set the people free. In the midst, God revealed signs and wonders and miracles with Moses. But the main thing was Moses continued to go to Israel to set the, or continued to go to Egypt to set the Israelites free. And Pharaoh, his heart kept changing. So Pharaoh, in a sense, was like, yes, no, yes, no, but eventually let the Israelites free because of famine and things of that nature. And Moses was the one who led them out of Egypt. Now, you got to figure what was going through Moses' head, first of all. He was a Pharaoh, and he had favor of all the land, and yet he chose to live in the desert and to set the Israelites free. The main thing is that God chose him when he was a young boy, what his life was going to do, how it was going to be done, and what the outcome was. Same thing with Joseph. God knew exactly what was going to happen with Joseph's life. No matter what happened, his life ended up the way it was going to end up. There was a couple more individuals in the Bible. King David. King David was one who, you know, as a small boy, turned around, slayed Goliath, and then ended up becoming one of the kings or rulers of that land growing up. And he didn't even want it, right? He didn't even want to be king. But it was God's plan for him to be king. My point is, we're kicking and we're screaming and we're kicking and we're screaming and we're fighting and we're kicking and we're screaming, when the reality is, and that's why I say, if you're listening to my voice, not all are called, but only those that hear my voice right now. If you hear my voice, then you're called. And that's why I said in the beginning, you can either quit now and surrender, and I'll tell you how to surrender in a minute, or you can keep kicking, you can keep screaming, you can keep kicking, you can keep fighting, and try to change your destiny, but it isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen because God has chosen your life. And this brings us into a better place of peace. God is the master potter, and we're nothing but clay. And I'm going to share a scripture verse here. I normally don't read, but I'm going to read a little bit today because I feel that it's necessary for someone out there that's listening. It says Romans chapter 9, verse 14. It says, "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God?" Meaning, you know, because God does these things in our lives, is it good? Is it bad? Is it right? Is it wrong? You know, who are we to say what God does in our lives? You know, we go through situations that we might not be happy with right now, or we go through situations where we're really happy. You know, we judge sometimes. You know, I look at Jesus, and some of us might know the life of Jesus, but you know, he was put in a situation where he was tortured and hung on a cross. Well, you know, he had no choice, basically. God raised him up for that purpose. And he could have left. He could have ran away. He could have chilled out. He didn't have to keep speaking his message of his conviction to where he got everybody upset and put him on the cross. There's many, many things that he could have done to avoid. And then when he got on the cross, you know, out of his heart, he was saying, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" You know, and this is what that one verse says, is God's righteousness basically unjustful. Well, you know, he's God, and he's going to do anything he wants with our lives. And the best thing to do is to surrender. Just basically give up and accept what's happening today. Things are going to change. My prayer is that things get better in your lives. You know, nobody likes to go through, you know, hardship, I guess you could say, to make things difficult. But I truly believe that they're only difficult in our head. I believe God has a plan that allows us to get through these difficulties if we just kind of yield ourselves to it, not work ourselves up in a sense of worry and fear, as if, oh my God, what's going to happen? Oh my God, I'm going to have to, you know, put out all this money, or oh my God, I'm not going to make any money, or oh my God, you know, money tends to be the major issues, isn't it? It's like the major root of our issues. And you know, God says that he'll supply all our needs according to our riches in glory. I truly believe that as we just yield to it, our the outcome of our life is going to unfold, no matter what. We're not going to be able to stop it. You look at these individuals, and you know, even with Pharaoh, when Moses went to go let the Israelites free, you know, he went to Pharaoh, and God even spoke in Scripture towards Pharaoh, and he says, "Listen, I hardened your heart for this reason, and then I softened your heart for this reason." God is ultimately in control. You know, I shared this with others, and they said, "Well, geez, isn't that just makes us like a puppet?" Well, we still have a free will, okay? But the free will isn't, you know, do we stay or do we go? Everybody has the free will in a very strange meaning, as if we're in control. We're not in control. The free will only comes into effect whether or not you're going to worry and you're going to allow fear and all these other issues to affect your head and get you all upset. That's the only power of will we have. It's not whether we stay or whether we go. Now, some will argue with me. "Oh, yeah, but if you worry, you know, that'll cause you to run." But I still believe that God causes you to run in the direction that you have to go to. The outcome always ends up His will. And there's no way around it. You can either believe me or not. That's the issue. If you believe me and give in and then surrender and come into a place of peace, all right, whatever, I'm not happy with it, but I know that you never give me more than I can handle, so I'm just going to go with it. I'm going to relax. I'm going to be patient. I'm not going to be anxious for anything. I'm just going to kind of rest, settle myself in, and everything's going to be okay. It's all going to come to pass, you know. It's all going to happen. I just got to relax. It'll all take its course, you know. I can understand the power of fear. You know, when you don't see anything happening, oh my God, and then you start creating this list of devastation. I got to do this, I got to do that, this has to be done, that has to be done. Oh, how's it ever going to get done? But God has a plan, and He makes that a way where there is no way. And we just have to learn how to settle in, relax, and deal with it. And it'll all come to pass. I believe if we keep on, and I spoke a message about murmuring and complaining, there is such great power in this truth that when we start complaining and murmuring and worrying and fearing, it's going to take us forever to get to point A to point B. Forever. I look at the Israelites and how they murmured and complained, and they had to walk around the desert for 40 years. And, you know, people say, geez, if they just took this route, you know, they would have been there within the next couple of days or whatever. I don't know exactly the true geographical situation, but I do know that it wouldn't have taken 40 years. They walked in circles. God made them walk in circles and stay in the desert, only because they were just complaining, only because they weren't trusting in God, only because they were fearing, and the purpose was for them to get to the promised land. The point for them was to get to the promised land. They eventually got there. None of them were allowed to be in. None of them were allowed to be let in. They saw it, and then they, you know, and I believe that's pretty much what happens. We get to where we need to be, and because of our complaining and our, we never obtain it. We never get it. Man, that's the worst thing, isn't it? It's like you got a desire in your heart and you really have a passion for it because God put it there. That's your direction in life. But then all of a sudden, you never get it. It never happens. Man, that's like hell right there. That's living hell. You fight, you kick, you fight, you kick, you fight, you kick, and you just never get it. The best thing to do is surrender. And then the quicker we surrender, that's why I said in the beginning, you can either surrender now and get what you desire, just you'll get your life, you'll get what you're looking for quicker and easier, or you can kick and scream and fight, and you may get it at the very end. You may not. You may be looking at it like the Israelites and see the promised land right there, and then, you know, and the end of your life is over. It doesn't happen. Or your dream is over. It never happens. You know, it's amazing. It's a mystery. I'm going to share this here verse here as far as God being the master potter here. Because, you know, God gets kind of firm with his message here. It says in verse 15, it says, "For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will to have mercy. And I will have compassion on whomever I will to have compassion." That right there should wake us up. Right there. It's like, it's almost as if I shared a parable a while ago with a gentleman who I love. And the parable was, there was an owner of a vineyard who had to hire some laborers. And, you know, one guy, he got paid the same amount of money as some of the laborers that got hired later on down the day. Some got hired in the early morning, some got hired in the afternoon, and some only spent maybe 2 hours of work. But at the end of the day, the vineyard owner went to pay everybody and chose to pay everybody the same monies. Well, the one who worked all day, you know, he was complaining. He was in that point of saying, well, he got paid the same and I worked all day. And, well, this is where this verse comes in. And, you know, doesn't it feel like that in life? You know, some people, they just tend to make it, and they make no effort at all. And then yet you got some that like work their grind to the, you know, face to the millstone there, and they just pound and pound and pound. Has anyone know people like that? There are some people who get through in life, and if you ever talked to him, he'd be like, huh? How did you ever make it through life so far? You're like as dumb as a rock. And how did you ever like get through so far? You know, and you're smart and witty and everything else, and it seems like you're not getting anywhere. How many people have ever felt that way? How many people have met the rocks? Oh, man, I met a lot of rocks in my life, and I turn around and say, oh, my God. Really? Then you got these people who are just plain old losers, and they got all the benefits that you could possibly imagine. And then you look at yourself, or you look at others, because I know if you're like me, you're probably like the guy who works the 8 hours and gets paid the same as the guy who only worked an hour. If you're like me, you're probably like the guy who's really witty and smart, and the rock is doing so much better than you, and you figure, how the heck is that happening? If you're like me, funny, isn't it? It's because, you know, we're kicking. We're kicking, and we need to just be as dumb as a rock and let God deal with our lives the way he already planned to deal with it. You know, I know within my own self, and I'm sure there's others out there that can relate, how do we know that we're not ones that are moaning and groaning and complaining about the rock getting through in life with all the blessings that you could possibly imagine, and you're over here fighting. How do you know our hearts are like deceivingly wicked? And because we are chosen by God, you know, because God has a call on your life. If you're hearing my voice now, you have a call on your life. So how do we know, you know, that deep inside our hearts are wicked? And, you know, I don't feel like I'm a wicked guy. I mean, geez, I'm supposed to be a pastor here. And, you know, I'm supposed to love everybody. And I'm supposed to let my light shine and everything else. But how do I know that deep down inside, I'm not one who is murmuring and complaining about, you know, these others when God says, I'll show mercy on whoever I choose to show mercy on. And I will, what's the other one? I'll show mercy and I will show compassion on whoever I choose. You know, I look at these people in the Bible, and they're chosen by God. And I look at Jonah, and he complained about going to Nineveh. And God was like, listen, you're going to Nineveh. Nineveh was a place where he had to go preach and tell them to, you know, change your evil heart, so to say. You know, you guys are complaining and murmuring, and he, you know, you're wicked, and you need to repent. So God sent him to go tell them, and he's like, I'm not going to tell those people to repent. Let them burn. Let them, you know, let them suffer. Let them burn. And God was like, no, I want mercy on them. I want mercy on them, so go tell them. And so Jonah was like, nope. And so what happened was God arranged a storm, and they ended up looking at Jonah and said, dude, you're the one that's causing this storm, and we're going to throw you overboard. So the people on the ship, God hardened their hearts. Here's a perfect example how God's in control. Grabbed Jonah, threw him over the side of the boat, and then he ended up getting swallowed by a big fish. And then he had to stay in the belly of a fish. Well, how many of us are in that belly right now? Think about it. Okay, now, this is the beauty. Jonah was like, oh my God, this place stinks. I don't like being in this spot. It's nasty. I think I'm going to end up dying here in the fish's belly. All right. I'll go to Nineveh, I'll give in, I'll quit, I'll surrender, I promise, I'll surrender, I'll go. And then, you know, he said the magic word, I'll surrender, I'll surrender. And as soon as he surrendered, what happened? Did anybody know the story? Okay, the fish ended up swimming to the ocean or to the shore and puked Jonah out. Blech. And Jonah came out, blah, and he was okay. Then he went, spoke to whatever. They repented, right? And then what happened afterwards? He left, and then he was in scorching sun, right? Complaining. Well, didn't he go back to complaining? He started complaining again. Jonah, as dumb as he is, and I'm the same way. I'm just as dumb as Jonah. A fish didn't come and eat him. But instead, the scorching sun just started like scorching him. So then what did God do? He had a little love on him, didn't he? He ended up planting this little tree or something, and it grew real quick and gave him shade. So he didn't have to be in the sun. But the moral of the thing is, you know, as we just surrender, God makes provisions to take care of our issues and problems. Even when we don't deserve them, He still comes and takes care of our issues and problems. And I truly believe that when we receive and understand this magical word called surrender, which really it's just a matter of saying, not my will, but your will be done. It is what it is. We can't change tomorrow. We can't change the circumstances. But I do believe if we just laugh at it and say, whatever, he turns things around, makes them good. He like works on your best interest. He takes care of those things, and we stop walking around the desert. We stop laying in the belly of the whale. We stop being in the hole that our brothers dug, and we ended up sitting in the hole. And not only did we end up sitting in the hole, we were sold to prison as a prisoner, and then we sit in a jail somewhere for a long time until eventually, how do we know that Joseph didn't eventually stop complaining? We really don't know the depths of it, but the way I look at it is, if Joseph, when he got sold, started actually being grateful that he was out of the hole, maybe he wouldn't have been in prison. Maybe he would have been maybe in a room somewhere, or maybe not so dark and gloomy. But I truly believe that we just need to surrender. We're kicking against the gods. We're fighting and having issues. You know what the gods are? The gods are all the other gods that control our minds to make us worried over nothing. We create imaginations, and those imaginations don't even come to pass. How many of us are in these areas of moping? What are we moping for? We got to stop moping. I know we got to stop moping. There are individuals that are listening to this tape right now in their car or in their living room, and they're saying to themselves, he's talking to me. Yes, I'm talking to you. We got to stop moping, because God is the master potter and we are the clay. Now I'm going to share something with you. It goes on. It gets better. It says in verse 16, so then, is it not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy? For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. That was that reference that I told you about Moses and Pharaoh, and where God worked on his heart to show and reveal God's power and how he's in control. Then it says in verse 18, therefore he had mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, you are to reply against God. Oh, who are you to reply against God? So this is where, you know, we begin to get rebuked. We're getting smacked around by God right now. It says, but indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the things formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have the power over the clay and the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? That right there, I'm going to stop for a minute and say to ourselves, we got to ponder on this. You know, I got to stop looking at these dumb rocks and complain about them. I got to look at my own life, and I got to say to myself, you know, I got to go deep, deep down in my heart, and I got to look deep, deep down inside and say, is there the slightest complaint in there? Is there the slightest murmur? Am I looking at individuals in my life that I am complaining about? Is there situations in my life that I'm not happy about, and I'm judging others, and I'm complaining. Am I looking at things wrong? I should be happy to where I'm exactly at and be very grateful for everything that I have and not what I don't have. I need to be grateful at everything, where I'm going and where I'm not at and where I'm not going. I gotta be able to look at my cup as being full or overflowing. I gotta stop. I think we all gotta stop. I'm putting all the pressure on myself. Because, you know, when I begin to start saying you and you and you, people get very upset. So I'm gonna put all the pressure on myself and tell the whole world that I gotta stop. And I hope maybe they will all listen too and say, yeah, I'm gonna agree with this guy and say, you know what? I got to take a look at my life, and I got to start looking deep, deep down inside and realize that there are issues that are hard. There are issues in my heart that are hard, and I have no compassion, and I have no mercy on these things. And God says that He can give compassion and mercy on whoever He chooses. So, if I want compassion and mercy from God in my life, then I need to start going deep and give that compassion and mercy to those who I feel as though don't deserve it. I still feel that the rock, that dumb rock, does not deserve the breaks that they get. The pig, the bum who doesn't work, does not deserve the breaks that they get and the handouts that they get. They don't deserve it. Let's look at the facts. But what's wrong is me getting bitter and angry towards it. That's the part that is the killer. I got to look at the truth and say, yep, that's a bum and they don't deserve it. Yep, for some strange reason, I worked 8 hours and that guy worked an hour and we should have different pay. I should get more money because I worked more hours and that guy there should get nothing because he only worked an hour. That's the facts. All right, we can't change the facts. But the hardness of the heart, the issue of anger and bitter, resentment, hatred, all these things, we need to give compassion and mercy to these individuals, even though they may not deserve it. Even in our own lives, there's something where we need to walk in a way of realizing that we're the only ones alone and deal with just our own issue and not really judge about what is outside of us. They have their own world. And whether they get paid for 8 hours or an hour, maybe tomorrow the guy will work 8 hours and get paid for the same as the 1 hour guy. And then maybe my turn will come up and I work 1 hour tomorrow. And everybody else worked 8. How many people understand or see where I'm going? Okay, good. I believe if we apply this truth in our heart, because this is a word from God. This is literally a word from God. He is saying to His people today, I will show mercy on whoever I choose to show mercy on. I will show compassion on whoever I will to choose to show compassion. And I can show this on you too, but you're no different than the people that I sent Jonah to tell them to repent. So we need to change the way we're thinking and come to a place where we're no longer in our hearts feeling this way. I know it stinks. I know we have rights to feel this way. I know that we should be able to to come to a place, and I want everyone to say, listen, how you're feeling is perfectly right. The bum on the street don't deserve all the breaks. If you work 8 hours, you get paid 8 hours. If you worked an hour, you shouldn't get paid for eight. I mean, it's just the way it is. You know, The Rock, he shouldn't deserve everything because he's dumb as a rock. And you're smart. I know, listen, my wife's right here. She can vouch for it. I shouldn't be in the position that I'm in, but I'm in my position because I know in my heart, somewhere along the line, God had to show me I'm complaining. I'm murmuring. I'm bitching. Am I allowed to say that word? Okay. Isn't that like 2016 word? No. But at the same time, I'm getting my cue up here. I spoke enough. There's more in this verse here that it says in verse 22, it says, what if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. I believe those that are listening are not prepared for destruction. I believe this is a word from God to say we need to repent so that he doesn't give us over to destruction. He wants to bless us, but he can't bless us because of where we're at. I believe that we are his vessels of mercy, which he prepared for us for glory. And I believe that God is saying, listen, you're a special person. You're meant to be blessed. And I want to have mercy on your life. I want to give grace to you. I want to bless you. I want to see you make to the kingdom. I want to see you get to that place next to me. I want to see you blessed on this earth so that I can be a testimony in your life. I want to see mercy, and I want to make you a vessel of honor. And so, I believe tonight, for those that are listening, if we will just surrender and say, God, you know, I don't believe in sorry, but if we can just look at him and say, you're right. You know what? I heard the word. I heard what you had to say. I gotta stop complaining about this individual. I gotta stop complaining about this situation. I gotta stop murmuring and complaining and grumbling. I gotta just stop. My situations, I can't control. It is what it is. And I just need to quit. I just need to quit. And if we need help, we can ask him, God, help me here. You know, I'm born with some habits. I grew up in bitterness. I grew up in this situation and struggled and fought all my life. Never got any breaks. And I developed bad habits, bad patterns. So help me. Give me strength to deal with this truth so that I can be that vessel of glory, that vessel of honor that you've originally made me to be. If you're here, or if you're listening, you are made to be that vessel of honor and glory. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I ask that you would give us the strength to be able to pull ourselves through and overcome this pattern of destruction, and that you will give us eyes to see how truly we are alone, and it is our salvation, and for us to work out our own salvation in this fear and in this trembling place of knowing that you are the master potter and we are nothing but the clay, but to know and give us this hope to know that this clay is made to be a vessel of honor in your glory. And so, Father, we want your will to be done in our lives. So give us that strength, please, I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. All right, James.